This is Will's Band of the Week for February 2nd, 2020. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig once again from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am again.
Yeah, as long as Barrett stays busy, we got to find our talent across the ocean. So that's what we're doing.
Well, we wouldn't like to give the impression that you were desperate for someone to come on, but there was no one else who volunteered. So here I am again.
You know, I was going to introduce you in a certain way, and then I thought, maybe I should ask you first whether that's appropriate. And then I forgot to ask you, so I'm just going to try it, and we'll see if this is offensive. Ready? Craig, former member of the European Union from the Ipswich Bureau.
Yeah, very offensive.
Sorry about that.
Well, we're in this odd transition period.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we are still, we're not in the European Union, but everything that held before still holds. So I don't know exactly how you define or explain that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, but it officially happened, right? So
there was 11 p.m. on Friday evening, just gone.
There was a super sad video that somebody put up on Twitter. You know, you can put videos on Twitter that are like, 30 seconds long or whatever. And there was a video of them removing the flag from like where they have all the flags on display. You know,
yeah,
and
in
somebody,
Brussels, I think.
Somebody walks up to the stand and just grabs it and walks away, and it's just terrible. It's too bad. Well, you know, we have our own political problems here that
have to see what the future will hold. Yeah. Nothing is permanent, and so you never know.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, all right. Music podcast, that's what we have, right?
Yeah, no politics.
I thought that, you know, since I don't usually give the contact information until the end, and I will once again at the end. But, you know, if you're just tuning in and you're one of those quite reasonable people who can't make it all the way to the end of the podcast, which we'd understand that. We're on Twitter. We're really easy to find on Twitter at Will's Band. And you can email us, willsband@yahoo.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. And we have our website where all the episodes are up there. And that's willsband.net. It seems like .net is not as cool as it used to be, right? But I don't know if .com would be any better, would it?
Isn't there just everything now?
Yeah.
What do they call it? Domain?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can have .house, obviously .co, anything I think is possible.
Yeah, and there's like .tv now. Yeah. I guess it doesn't matter as long as people can find us. So there you go. I believe you could get I'm not sure about the technicalities of this, but I think you could get the podcast feed by just going to willsband.net/RSS. That's called the RSS feed. But then it's a little tricky because I don't know if you need the HTTP in there or not or whatever. So I'm kind of I'm not an expert in this. But anyway, there you go, people.
Yeah.
Keep in touch.
We're out there through various channels.
Right. And we've got, once again, lots of content. I think we'll be at $0 like halfway through this one. I know that's a little bit bold to say, but I'm feeling that way. So I don't know. Let's try to prove it. Should we do that?
Okay. So something somber to begin with. Some bad news.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know. I mean, where do you draw the line on when you play the jingle? And I think we default to saying it's okay to play the jingle because we don't play it in with any bad intent. I think there's just a thing, right? Don't take it too seriously, but, you know, try to have a little fun with it. So I'm going to play it.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
Andy Gill, the guitar player for the legendary UK band, the Gang of Four, just died at the age of 64. And that's not old enough. I require people, I expect people to be older than that when they die. But anyway, that was very sad news. And man, what an influential band. So I don't know what your connection is. You'll tell us with the Gang of Four. But I kind of missed them back in the, you know, in their heyday. I had heard of them. I didn't have any of their albums. It turns out after the fact that my wife was a big fan. She said she just listened over and over again to one or two of their early albums.
Especially Entertainment, I suppose, that is regarded, you know, as the best and the most influential and the one everyone knows.
Seems like that's the most well-known one. There's another one that I'm forgetting the title of now that came up in conversation. And also, though, the Gang of Four were good friends with the Mekons. And I've gotten, you know, really into the Mekons, you know, playing in a tribute band and meeting a couple of them. And in fact, we might have to talk about that a little bit in the live report section. But that's a different segment. But they kind of came up together in Leeds, right? The Gang of Four and the Mekons.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what's your familiarity with the Gang of Four?
Well, I think that album I mentioned, Entertainment, was kind of... Well, post-punk never really goes away, does it? But especially in the early 2000s, seemed to be very popular once again. And Joy Division were talked about by anyone who was getting into music or already into it. And so you have their classic albums, and then you have Pink Flag by Wire and various other of their classic albums. And Entertainment by Gang of Four is right there amongst the best records of this genre, 1979. I was lucky enough to go and see them playing on the 30th anniversary of that album, so 2009.
Oh, that's great.
Easy enough to work out. They played at the Kentish Town Forum in North London. About 1,800 people, size venue, pretty prestigious. That was great. And you know, the kind of the word was, they're still a great live band now. They just finished their most recent tour in the autumn of 2019, I think, and still getting great reviews. The lineup had changed, but Andy Gill was the one surviving, like the constant presence in the band. He is Gang of Four, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, still. Sometimes when a band keeps going and going and going, can be quite unedifying or not the best. But I don't think that was the case here at all.
Yeah. So I was trying to find what would be a good representation of a song to play. And I went on the streaming service, and it's just not there. They're on some compilations, but all their... And the album they put out last year, I think, is on there. But the old classics are not on the streaming services. So I had to go to YouTube, and I sampled a little bit, and I found a cool song that's... apparently one of their most popular songs is called Damaged Goods. That's a Gang of Four.
Yeah, good sampling. It's a good choice.
Yeah, it's got that great, just punchy post-punk sound and his guitar kind of screechy kind of thing. That's cool.
Yeah, that's being a music podcast. It's nice to mark, you know, when an influential musician passes away. But also, it's terribly sad. This has really hit home to me today. His wife posted on Twitter, I think they've been married nearly 30 years, I believe that's what she said. And it was a personal tragedy, of course, for her and the rest of their family. And sometimes lose sight of that a little bit when these musicians die. We're mainly interested in the music side, but there's the human side too. It's,
right.
Very sad, very sad indeed.
Yeah, it seemed like it was completely unexpected. They said he had a short respiratory illness. So whatever that is, but boy. Yeah. Well, cool band. And sorry to see him gone. Andy Gill. Okay. Well, let's keep it rocking. And there's no better way to keep it rocking than by doing this. Right now, the listeners are thinking, obviously, it's going to be Craig with the live report, not Will, because Craig's the, you know, he's the true live report guy. But before we go to yours, I think I forgot to mention one. This was a couple weeks ago, but I don't think I mentioned it. But if I did, then I'm just getting old and I'm going to say it twice. But in Kiki's basement, we've talked about Kiki's basement in Madison. Kiki's a woman who has shows in her basement. And it's kind of cool. And she had John Langford and Sally Timms, two members of the Mekons. They're the two who live in Chicago, so they're a lot more easily accessible. They came up to Madison, and they played two shows. They were going to play one. I think it just sold out so fast that they decided to play another one. So it was super cool. Played some Mekons classics and some just other cool stuff. So it was great. Pretty
fun. Did
you
go to both of the two?
No, just one. It was a Friday evening one. And then they were staying overnight, so they just decided to add a Saturday matinee. And I think they stayed at Kiki's house because Sally Timms was making jokes about how, when you get old, all you think about is where are you going to sleep? And she said that it was going to be so great because they were going to play a couple of sets, you know, and then... And then she was going to be able to get in bed, and it was going to be so great.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. It was good. It's kind of cool, and I've talked about Kiki's basement before. So she turned her basement into a really pretty cool music venue. It's got a little stage in the corner, and then there's just 90 degrees, chairs set up, and there's a couple of couches and then a whole bunch of like folding chairs, but it's something between like 40 and 60 people. I thought it was 60, and then when I was there, I thought it doesn't seem like there's quite that many people. So it's very intimate. You almost can't help but be like right next to the artist.
It sounds so good. I would just love this place.
And then they, a lot of times they'll play two sets and they're just hanging out talking to people. They do a little merch table at the bottom of the stairs in her basement. They make a merch table. They had selling some vinyl and cassettes and all. It was super cool. So, all right, now to the Ipswich live reports.
The size of Kiki's basement sounds not dissimilar to the famous, well, gradually getting pretty famous smokehouse here in Ipswich.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty soon. It's going to be in those articles people write about. The world's best indie rock venues, right? The smokehouse will start getting on those lists.
Well, it's not perfect, but I can't really complain because, well, I'm definitely going to complain. It's a good thing. I've never cycled, never commuted by bicycle to a gig before. Amanda was coming back from work and she'd cycled to work that day. She said, well, this is... lock up our bikes there at the venue, then we can cycle home afterwards. It's much easier than walking home. It's twice as fast, at least. I'll talk about the gig itself in a second, but then we came out onto the bikes, put the bike lights on, and we were home by 10:45 p.m. A new record, I think, for getting home from a show. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's not that uncommon for us because we don't have to go that far, but you're usually taking a train to London or something.
Yeah. So I'll definitely cycle down to the smokehouse again next time there's something. But who should play there but the wonderful W.H. Lung from Manchester came down. There's this thing called Independent Venue Week. It is a nationally coordinated thing, but I'm not really sure who does it or why, to promote independent music venues, that's why, I suppose. WH Lung were doing a couple of shows in the week. I saw them at the Smokehouse in Ipswich, and then on the 3 days later at Hebden Bridge Trades Club, that's in Yorkshire, just to the west of Leeds there. I went up to that as well. Really good. I still think they sound very much like New Order, a little bit of orchestral moves in the dark OMD there, and then the krautrock. The songs are quite long, so you with lots of repetition, so you tend to think of krautrock stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend said to me, oh, they were quite ravey to me, he said, you know, like dance music-esque, and then he thought LCD Sound System was a very good comparison, he felt. So that's another one to throw into the mix there as well. But yeah, great, really good live band. I think the Ipswich show was possibly slightly better of the two, but the sound is not good. I mean, I think the Smokehouse isn't perfect before, and it's so small, really. About 50 people. But what's quite nice is this was the first thing I've been to there, which was absolutely sold out within 10 minutes. And there was still space. So it's quite nice to see that they aren't absolutely packing it in, so you can't even, you know, move your elbows. That's not very fun for the customer. So that's one thing that's quite good about it. And the bar was still very accessible, and they've renovated the bathrooms. The toilets are all new and clean. So a venue on the up.
Yeah, that's not the case at a lot of indie rock venues.
No, they must have had some investment from somewhere. They were closed early in January, I think, for a bit of refurbishment. Oh, but I should also talk about the Hebden Bridge Trades Club. That was where the Friday evening. This is a socialist members club in the... Hebden Bridge is somewhat regarded as the feminist or lesbian capital of England. I think a lot of liberal people live there anyway, so it's all extremely nice. Everyone's very liberal and right on, and there was an anti-Brexit protest happening in the centre of the town on the Friday afternoon when I arrived, and a couple of craft beer breweries, as you'd expect. And then the venue itself is great, really welcoming, and just a nice wooden ceiling, a nice high stage, wide room. Well, I think probably about 200 people there, so a bit bigger.
And how do you get there from Ipswich?
I walked to the station, then I took a train to Peterborough, that's 1 hour 50. Then a train to Leeds from there, that's 1 hour 30. Then I had some lunch in Leeds at the Leeds Brewery Tap. Give them a shout out. I always stop there on my way through. It's next to the station, so if you have half an hour to wait for a train,
you could just go
out to the brewery, and they do a sandwich and a beer for £9.50. So very nice.
Oh, that sounds great. So this is this is quite a travel adventure then.
Yeah, all in with the changes and things, probably about 4.5 hours or something like that. And then it's 45 minutes from Leeds to Hebden Bridge on another train. So three trains.
Wow. And then you did the same thing in reverse the next day?
Yes, I had to get back pretty early Saturday afternoon. So I left, made an early start from Leeds and came back. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
The commitment has to be there for the live reports for the Wills Band. This is, you expect me to deliver the reports, and I go some way to do it.
Explains why your bill was so high. That's why I was actually trying to figure out, like, wait a minute, he's not like overbilling us, I hope. Yeah, cool. Wow, that is exciting. So the two WH Lung shows, is that the extent of your live reports for this reporting period?
That is, but next time I'm on, I'm going to have, I don't even want to say, probably five or so.
Yeah,
so
you said you've got forward to that. You said you have a whole bunch coming up. There's one, I told you, there are a couple of them coming to Madison. There was one in Chicago that I thought about going to, but it was actually two bands that are also going to be in Austin. And I thought, well, if I'm going to get to see them in Austin, then it makes it not quite worth the trouble, maybe, to make a special trip to Chicago. So I didn't go. It was...
Which band is that?
Should I say who it was? Yeah, I will. It was... Yeah. Deeper and Corridor.
Oh.
Two bands we've talked about on the podcast, and also a band called The Hex that I'm not sure if we talked about. They're cool. So it was a really good lineup. But
Deeper has played at the Smokehouse. So well done, Deeper.
Cool.
But Corridor, we have not seen them yet at the Smokehouse, so they need to really address that.
That's kind of a thing that they need to address for sure. So do you think when bands are putting together tours, there must be some coordinated communication, right? Where they have to get put on some kind of list, right? Where if a touring band is coming through and they're saying, well, we're going to be like in London this day, and then we're going up to Leeds or whatever, you know, where, and we have a date in between. And so there must be somewhere there's like this list, right? And now the Smokehouse is on there and they're like, oh, maybe we could play there. So let's contact their person. Right?
Yeah. I've wondered about this since I've been going to gigs and shows. I think you have a booking agent, right? And I guess that agent gets to know the promoter of certain venues. And once they're their friend, that's the first person they will always phone when they need to book a band. And so this is why the promoter of a venue is so important. And venues go through periods of being fashionable or not, because it depends who your promoter is. And if they get on, have a good relationship with the booking agents.
Mm-hmm.
I think that must be it, exactly what you're saying. There must be some behind the scenes process, which we never get to see as the fans.
Right, right. I think that that's been a something that's hurt the Madison live scene, is that first we had the Frequency, and Darwin, the guy at the Frequency, he was obviously in on the whole, like, finding touring bands to come through. They had bands almost every night of the week in this tiny venue, you know? And then, and also the High Noon, when this woman, Kathy, owned it, she was the original owner. But then a few years ago, she decided to sell. So she sold it to the big promoter. And so the big promoters, they don't book in the same way, you know? It's like they're booking things that the tickets are on Ticketmaster, and I don't know. It's just not as indie as it used to be, and I think we're losing a lot of the smaller artists that would have otherwise come through. So,
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. And then we have another, like, a super indie venue that that I've played at, Grant has played at, that sort of picked up a little slack after the Frequency closed. It was called Art Inn. And now they're closing because apparently they just aren't, weren't getting enough shows. And there are a few random venues around town, but it's so random, you know, it's not coordinated at all. So they just get like an occasional thing, but there's not like, you know, the person like Darwin at the Frequency or Kathy at the High Noon that just is completely on top of this whole scene. So, all right, lamenting just a little sad, but you're not having that problem. You got the up and coming Smokehouse plus all these places where you go all over the place in the UK. So that's pretty cool. So, well, where are we now? Where are we now after all this discussion? Are we up to the featured bands?
I think we have some new records and some bonus material to share, don't we?
We do. I think, you know, we've talked about the legendary Gang of Four, and you mentioned this band already as being kind of in that same, you know, in the same discussion, and that's Wire, and they just came out with a new album. They're aging rockers. They're classic aging rockers, right?
Yeah, I don't know whether you could... The aging rockers, definitely, but we may bring out the term legendary for Wire.
You know, and that Wire is another band that I definitely was not in on from the beginning. And I remember I had an album by a solo album. Is the guy's name Colin Newman?
That's him.
Does that sound right? I had a Colin Newman album, I'm pretty sure, before I listened to Wire. but people cite Wire all the time. And it's cool. They're still rocking. And they're going to, probably because they heard that we are likely to be down in Austin, they just the thought that we might be there, they're going to go down there, right?
Yeah, that's going to be good to see them. And they'll probably play 3, 4, 5, 6 times, won't they? You'd think so.
Well, if you think of them as, you know, maybe doing something similar to what the Chills did, you'll probably see them multiple times and they'll play the exact same set and you'll get mad and scold
even
them.
Though they've got, I tried to count the number of albums that Wire had, so I just gave up. At least 15, I think.
So I hope I'm hoping that they play a few times, because I'm a little bit worried that, you know, having kind of the reputation that they have, they could draw like a big crowd, and, you know, we want it to be enthusiastically and well attended, but we don't want to get like crunched in a gigantic, just, you know, terrible crowd, right?
How about if they play at the indoor place at Cheer Up Charlie's?
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Well, it would also be difficult to get in.
Right.
That also has a capacity of about 80 or 100. Probably.
If that, yeah. They could maybe fit 100 in there if you really pack them in. But yeah. Well, yeah, so there's a new album. Wire just came out with an album called Mind Hive. And it's really, like, maybe you've got a better handle, because I don't have a great handle on how this sounds compared to the rest of their catalog. But kind of, it almost is not easy to define. You know, it's kind of like they're just playing what they feel like playing.
Yeah, I can't say I'm an expert on Wire, but something that I have always felt, whether it's the classic singles, the old albums, the great albums of the past, or else the most recent ones, I like the previous one before this quite a bit, it's just very smooth, kind of easy to listen to, in my opinion, and that's nice. It's kind of a risk it could drift into the background a bit, maybe, because it's so very nicely produced, and smooth is the word I would use, glossy almost.
I don't know why, but when I hear the guy sing, I think they sound like they're German. I don't know what it is. Yeah, is there like a little krautrock type thing going on? I'm not sure why that makes me think that, because they are, in fact, not German.
They are from London, yeah, from the 70s, but they've been going so long.
Yeah. Well,
this is a good album. It seems to be, I'm looking at a few things, and some people were saying it's good, some bad, but I like it. Very easy to listen to.
Why don't you take the first pick?
Well, I liked quite a bit of this. I'm going to go track 2, Cactus, I think.
Wire.
Yeah, Cactus from the new album Mind Hive.
And that probably would have been my first pick also. It's got a good, you know, don't you just feel like live, their guitars are going to sound really good, right? They're just being veterans. It's just going to be like a really cool, like, wall of guitar sound.
Yeah, I think they were known for being extremely loud. In their, I almost said their heyday, it's almost disrespectful because they're still good now, but in the previous decades that they've been going before this one, I think they were like an extraordinarily loud band. I don't know if that's still the case, but it's just, they just seem very professional and slick, and I come back to that word smooth as well. It's kind of just a mellifluous sound flowing out of the headphones. It's very nice.
All right, I'm going to play one that's a little different from the rest. It's kind of a mellower one, but it's cool. Number 5, Unrepentant.
Thank you.
the mellower side of Wire right there, but I like it.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, I was just reading about all the people who are say they're influenced by Wire. Like, it's pretty amazing. There, I didn't realize this, that there's an REM song that's a Wire cover on the album Document, a song called Strange.
Huh.
Also, they've been cited as influences on Henry Rollins, The Cure, Robert Pollard said it's one of his favorite bands. The band Lush did a cover, a Wire cover. Johnny Marr is a fan. I mean, it's pretty good. That's pretty amazing. I don't know, kind of diverse even, you know, list of people.
Yeah, I think Colin Newman is just a real music guy. I think he does things the right way, a little bit like Andy Gill, who we were talking about before, treats people with respect, is serious about his craft. And that means you're going to pick up respect of fellow musicians, I think, when you behave that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So, cool. One more track. What's it going to be?
Well, let's go. So I had two, you had five, and now, if you add those together, track 7, Oklahoma.
Wire. You can definitely hear some of the old post-punky 1980 type sound in that, can't you?
Yeah, but that was a little bit of a different one. To show sort of a little bit of diversity on the album there.
Yeah. Well, good to see the Aging Rockers keep on rocking.
Yeah, it won't be the last time we talk about them this year, because we'll try and catch them in Austin if we can and report back on how the live show is for the listeners.
They have their upcoming gigs listed on their website, and it goes up to March 16th, and they're playing the Great Hall in Toronto on March 16th, and then there's nothing until May, so they're going to have to make an immediate trip to Austin after that Toronto gig. But
yeah,
apparently they are, because South by Southwest is listing them as a featured artist, so they'll have to show up, right?
They better do.
It's amazing.
Well, This is so cool, just below that on the website. Now, I wish all bands had this. This shows you what I was saying about Colin Newman before. They have their Wire gigography going back to 1976. Every show they have played. Hold on, let's see if every year is here. 79, 80. Oh, some years missing. 85, 86, 87, 88, 1990, 91. Maybe they had a hiatus in 1981, 2, 3, and 4. 92, 93, 96. And you can think, damn, was I at that Wire gig in Croatia on the 4th of July, 2008? And there it is, Zagreb. Incredible.
Yeah, I just started looking at it, and I did a search for Ipswich. It appears they've never played in Ipswich.
I did see them in Norwich. Let's see if this is here.
The Smokehouse wasn't around, so...
No. That would be far too small for them. Although they might support it, just being a good... Here we go. Norwich Arts Centre. No, it's not the one. Norwich Waterfront Studio, 24th of October, 2017. I was there.
That's the one. Oh, cool. So I see
this
that
is great. What a great resource.
Here's one that I could have made and I didn't. On June 22nd, 1988, they played at First Avenue in Minneapolis.
And I was incredible to know that, isn't it?
I was living in I was living in Rochester, Minnesota. That was just an hour away from Minneapolis, so I could have made that gig, but I failed to. Oh, they played two nights on June 21st and 22nd, two consecutive nights at First Avenue in Minneapolis.
Incredible.
That's such a legendary venue, you know, and it's amazing that it's still there. And I used to go to shows there in the 80s, and it's still there. And I haven't been to a show there in, you know, like 30 years. And my sister still lives up there. She always says, you know, come up for a weekend and we'll go to a show. There's apparently an art exhibit all about the history of First Avenue that closes sometime in April, and I'm planning on going up there before it closes so I can see it.
Maybe some band will come through touring and you can catch a live show at the same time. That'd be really good.
I've got to check their calendar again and see like what's playing on on weekends. So it's a little it's tough to make in the middle of from here to Minneapolis is about 4 hours, maybe four and a half driving. So
yeah.
Yep. All right, very cool. We covered Wire, right? We gave that an adequate report, and I think we're up to zero right now, but we're not going to stop.
There's more.
Yeah. There's a band we're going to talk about whose name I'm going to probably mispronounce. Like,
here we go. I was about to say.
Right? I mean, they're from Paris, France. And there's clearly a better way to pronounce this. But, you know, I'll do the American hack, and I'll call them An Attendant Anna because that's what it's spelled like. E-N and then attendant and then A-N-A. So
I'm going to call them EAA, if that's okay.
Right? Yeah. EAA.
Or just Anna.
Right. So we're probably pronouncing it wrong, but, and then even the name of the album, it's, J-U-I-L-L-E-T. So I guess I would say Jule, but it might be Jule or Jue.
What? I think it's going to be Jule, whether it's Julette or Jule.
Maybe Jule.
Very similar to the word for July, but I just realized it's not that because that has another I. That's Juliet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, I'm pretty sure I talked about their last album about a year and a half ago when it came out, and I really liked it. And now they have their second album, at least second that I know of.
And, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And it's pretty cool. Fun, kind of poppy, bouncy band, I guess. And whatever I say about it will be wrong, probably, so let's just play a track. Does that sound good?
Yeah, there's some good ones here. I'm looking forward to see what you go with. I really like this.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, my favorite catchy riff is track two, Do You Understand? An Attendant Anna. That's some catchy indie rock there, isn't it?
Yep. I have some comparison points.
All right. I didn't come up with any, so but we'll rely on you.
I'm going for Always on this one.
Hmm. Okay.
Vocally, and also that nice lead guitar, which I like quite a bit. Yeah, which you said had the catchy thing that you liked.
Yeah. There's a little more like of a bounciness, though, right? Than Always.
Yeah, maybe the faster Always ones. Yeah.
Yeah, less of a flow and more of a bouncy thing. So
yeah, at least one track, which I don't think I'm going to pick. So there'll be no illustration of this. I had a nice bass, a bouncy bass. I think that was number three. Yeah, somewhere and somehow had that. Yes.
Is that your pick?
No.
Oh, that was.
I have an even better pick.
Even better.
I'm going to go for track seven again. and I'm going to see. If I do have a comparison, but we'll see. Okay. I'm going to listen to it again first before I make a mistake. Enter My Body, brackets, Lilith. Enigmatic name there.
Yes. Yeah, so now that you've kind of put my reference point at Always, now I think they sound like Always combined with one of those bouncy Montreal bands. So, So Jeremiah should definitely like this. I hope he does. You can tell us, Jeremiah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I wonder if he will. He's very positive about many things, so it'd be unusual for him to say anything negative anyway.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't like it, he'll be nice to us anyway, right? He's a nice guy. Yeah.
That had one of the interesting things. There's quite a bit of brass on the album. I don't know what instrument. I'm sorry. I guess trumpet, trombone, maybe.
Kind of sounds like a trumpet sometimes, I think.
Yeah, yeah, so that's unusual for the indie rock.
And it can be really cool when used well. There was a Madison band that. I liked about three or four years ago, called Trophy Dad, and they seemed like they were kind of on the verge of making it big, and then they kind of got worse. Like I thought their songs got more predictable and not as interesting, and then they kind of just faded out and broke up, presumably. But they had one song where in the middle of the song, the singer picked up a trumpet and played it, and it was so cool. It was just so effective in that particular song that it was great. So, yeah, it's probably a bit of an underutilized thing. in indie rock.
Yeah.
There's a lot more bands play saxophones. You know, you don't see trumpets that often.
Yeah, so there's some brass on there. And I'm going to stick with my shout on this song. I thought it was sounded, when it's all clattering away there, when the song speeds up and goes a bit crazy, I think it sounds like The Fall.
Hmm.
So there we go. That's my reference point. And
wow.
And it also reminds me something of, it's like, it sounds like another song by another band a lot, but I can't remember what it is now. So there we go.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just not good at coming up with what I'm always thinking this kind of sounds like maybe something I've heard, but I can't think of what it is. So, well, okay. Time for another pick, right? There's one that I also think is just a super catchy one. So rather than try to, you know, show the diversity of the album or whatever, I'm just gonna play the next really catchy one, which is the next track after the one you picked. It's number 8, Words.
How do I deal with words when they turn out to be that heavy? Does the power I'll give them will help and restore your glory?
In addition to having some catchy tunes, they kind of know how to rock the guitars too, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of
not just like one style of the album. There's that brass we mentioned, and then some, they mix it up a bit.
Yeah, and kind of a crazy synthesizer in that one. That was cool. Yeah. So, you know, I keep thinking, what a perfect band this would be to play at South by Southwest. So I'm kind of disappointed that they're not, because it'd be such a perfect band for that context, for us at least.
Let's see if they have a website and see if what's going on.
Bandcamp, they don't list the tour dates, but then on just like a generic search, I found they have a couple coming up in Scotland. They're playing in Edinburgh at a venue I've actually been to called Sneaky Pete's, which is a classic hole in the wall kind of place. Then they've got one in Glasgow, one in Nottingham, Rough Trade, Nottingham. Where is that? Is that near London?
That's in the Midlands, about 150 miles north of London.
Yeah, it makes sense it would be up there if they're going from Scotland to there.
Yeah.
So
then Sheffield, my old alma mater. Our alma mater, as Americans say, I think.
Isn't Sheffield where Def Leppard is from? There's some metal bands from there, right? They've got a little bit more of a working class kind of culture, so there's more metal. That's my impression. Would that be correct?
Human League, Pulp are from there.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, that gives it diversity.
Yeah, very good music city.
Human League and Def Leppard.
Mm.
Yeah.
They should play together at South by Southwest. Not together, but one after the other.
I told the story because it was just so fun. So I'm going to tell it again because it's so fun. My wife ran into a guy from Def Leppard on a shuttle from the airport. This guy is like a total rocker. And somehow she figured out that it was, I think his name is Phil Collin. He's a guitar player for Def Leppard. She said he was a super nice guy.
Incredible to recognize him. No matter how she did it.
Yeah. Well, she recognized him as a, clearly this guy is some kind of a big shot because people are paying attention to him. And he had like a, you know, he maybe had some like music equipment in a fancy big crate type of a case, you know, or whatever, you know, kind of the thing, and maybe a cool leather jacket or something. I don't know. People were approaching him somehow. So she figured it out. So, yeah. So we'll see we'll have a lot of brushes with fame or down in Austin, right? I mean, if you think about last year, how many people we saw, you know, all those music critics and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then the other correspondents from Will's Band of the Week were there too, which was unbelievable. So cool. All right. An Attendant Anna. That's my butchered English version of the band name and the album, Julet.
And we think. Apologies to anyone French.
Right. And it's not because we're not nice people. It's just because we have honest difficulty figuring out how to pronounce it. So, yeah.
This is just the best we can do, honestly.
Yeah. So, all right. Now you have a bonus band. It's so fun because they barely have anything, right? What do they have? Two songs online, maybe, that you can find?
Well, there's a little EP here. Let's have a look. But every song on the EP has the word demo in capital letters. Five.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is demo. And it's called Discount Demos. So you can't really avoid the impression that these are demos.
They want to make it really clear. It's like saying, believe us, our next recording would be better than this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. You mentioned it a few days ago, and I listened to it, and I thought, yeah, cool. I'm on board, I think.
So the band is Marcel Wave from London. And, oh, you're going to test me now. Well, there's members of Sauna Youth, Cold Pumas, another cool band, Cold Pumas. And they've picked up a female singer along the way, or should I say a female talker anyway, as far as we can tell. So that's good. I don't know what band she's from.
Is that the easiest way to have us like a band? Just have a woman who talks, right?
Lead talker.
Although we have probably a lot more men who talk bands we've talked about. There's something, I think, talking to some good indie rock guitars and drums, you know, that's a good thing. Good combination.
Yeah.
So anything else to say about Marcel Wave, or should we just play a track?
Oh, well, I'm sure this will inspire us to think of more things to say. The first thing on this list on Bandcamp is Discount Center. And it has a really hilarious lyric, which I'll try to listen to and then repeat, but maybe you'll hear it yourself. Discount Center.
Grass slow along
Marcel Wave. Well, she sort of sang for about half of it, right?
if you think talking fast is the same as singing, then I suppose you're good. How cool is that, though?
Yeah, that's great.
I just think it's great when it speeds up. It's so good.
Right, yeah.
The Super horse fun. And the geese graze under the pylons outside the discount center. What's that? Doesn't make any sense. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's great. All right, and it's like you were saying something about getting in on bands from the ground up or whatever. Where like when they're playing the stadium rock shows, we'll remember back that we had identified them really early.
Yeah, when the song title still has demo in it.
Right,
we were there.
Yep, could buy stock in them right now. So if only we knew how to do that, right? Mm. Invest in indie rock bands. Well, all right. Have we completed our content?
I think so. I may be out of interesting material.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. That's good.
We're up to an hour. I think when you edit it, should be about an hour. So,
yeah,
that's $0 worth.
Be really close to an hour, right around there. Mm. Yeah. I was thinking, you know, the shows that are on radio stations where they have, you know, you're on for an exact amount of time. So let's say your show is 1 hour. So suppose we were on a radio station and we had to make our podcast 1 hour. That would be really hard to do because, well, the problem would be that you'd have to leave the mistakes in, right? Because you would just be 1 hour live time. And then, you know, I suppose what we could do then, the radio show would be 1 hour, but then I would edit out all the mistakes. So it'd be like 53 minutes, the podcast version. yeah.
Thank goodness we aren't required to be that professional.
Yeah. No, we're anything but professional. All right. Well, that's cool. So now we can get you done before midnight your time. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. It's we're recording this on Super Bowl Sunday, American Cultural Event Day. I don't really care about it. I'll probably turn it on just because it's such a big production and people make it sound really important. And one of the teams will win. They'll be very happy, as will their fans. And I have a tradition, too. I always make chili for the Super Bowl. So the pot of chili is already on the stove, and it looks a lot like your cake that you made.
Oh, the Christmas cake, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like chili when you sent the photos. So,
I remember we had a really nice chili when I was there. Wasn't that September? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Did we have chili at my house? I think you guys came over. Yeah.
Was that we watched for the baseball and maybe it was a different day. But anyway, one of the days we came over.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. I think we watched the Brewers collapse, right?
Yes, I think it was shocking to see. In slow motion. You just knew what was going to happen and then it unfolded in slow motion before your eyes.
And it was, and then that was only the beginning. They collapsed more in like the next few days until they finally had their playoff game where it was an epic collapse. But, you know, that's how sports can be, right? You're kind of waiting for the inevitable collapse. It usually happens, but, you know, sometimes you get lucky and you're a fan of the team that wins the championship, but usually not, right? Usually there's a, you know, it's going to lead to eventual disappointment.
Yeah, very often that's the scenario.
Hey, how is Southampton doing? Weren't they kind of in danger of relegation? Are they still?
They've had a bit of a good run since Christmas and New Year. They're in the middle of the table now.
Oh, good. So they're pretty safe now. That's good.
Well, too soon to say that. But you're not going to say safe, but more solid. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Fun stuff.
It's about 13 games to go of the season, something like that.
All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks again. And we'll sign off. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.